Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who does not take notice when the gospel lesson explicitly raises the two issues that are most on the minds of the Roman Catholic faithful during this time of crisis? The grievous offense of causing children to sin. The question of which is a valid ecclesia, church, gathering, assembly. Seeing such a lesson at such a moment as this, which honest priest ignores the explicit direction of the Holy Spirit? This past week, one of the sisters asked me to listen to homilies being offered from Roman Catholic parishes, something I rarely have time to do. I admired the candor of one homilist. And apparently many others did too, because this link was shared widely through email and texts. But I was not consoled or edified when he began bullying the people sitting before him in the pews. "Where else can you go?" he demanded. As St. Peter said to the Lord, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." His implication was painfully clear. To seek a different church from the Roman Catholic Church was to abandon Jesus. But this priest did not settle for implication. Instead, he trotted out a sentence that I never thought I would hear in the 21st century. "This is the church that Jesus Christ founded." If ever there were a time to draw back in humility from triumphalism, this is the time. Without intending to do so, he turned his own fears into the master subject. Certainly, friends and relatives have contacted me on this subject. The underlying and real question is, where is the church? Or more to the point, what is the church? I have served either Roman or Anglican communions full-time under a vow of poverty for about a quarter century. And I prepared for priestly life with 23 years of university study. Devoting my life to the church and growing up in a family of Anglo-Catholics and Roman Catholics, I have tried to ignore lines of division. For the Lord Jesus, as John Paul II has written, calls us to be one, ut unum sint. That's a command. Sadly, we cannot call the Balkanized church one. But the church is united in the sense that she is Catholic and apostolic. Moreover, the Catholic spirit, as Henri Cardinal de Lubac has written, is both and, not either or. The word Catholic itself insists on a prismatic wholeness and completeness. Kata holon. The word Catholic comes from two Greek words. Kata holon, according to the whole. May I pause for a moment to make a side point? I am a sacramental realist. The Lord Jesus founded the church not in terms of real estate or stone buildings, but within and upon humans, which are the only permanent thing that he created on the earth and the only earthly thing that has the capacity for holiness. I am a sacramental realist. I do not address the subject of Protestant traditions or the large segment of the Anglican Communion, which is Anglo-Protestant, often called the Low Church, or Anglicans called the Broad Church, which have developed in the direction of an ethical culture society in the last half century. To me personally, Anglican means Anglo-Catholic, which is the expression of the ancient church in the British Isles and Ireland, and then with the British Empire all over the world. It begins with the arrival of the Celts or Galatians from the continent, including St. Columba, who resisted the Roman Church and has continued for 1,500 years. The widely read and respected Bishop Callistos Ware has said that he has met countless Anglicans with whom he would not hesitate to offer terms of communion within the Eastern Orthodox Church. But the Anglican communion is a wild and woolly world, including clergy, Bishop Callistos points out, and bishops who have rejected basic Christian doctrine. It is not a simple matter to say, oh, I will go to an Anglican church, because you do not know what you will find when you get there. I do not in any way imply that hundreds and millions of sincere Protestant and evangelical Christians are not heard in their prayers to God. On the contrary, these traditions have defined themselves in terms of prayer. That is what they do on Sunday mornings. They pray and enjoy fellowship with one another. And this is how the ecumenical documents of Vatican II view them, communities of prayer. Who does not believe that the prayers of Protestants are heard? Who does not believe that Billy Graham has gained heaven? The reason I am Catholic is simple. It is the ancient church. These Catholic prayers are the ones that were offered by the beloved disciple and Blessed Virgin Mary at their community every morning and evening. And by the way, they pray them in Greek, not in Latin. These are the prayers St. Paul offered during his missions across Asia Minor and Southern Europe. And one prayer in particular, the beating heart of holy worship in the mind of a Catholic, is the encounter with God, the great Eucharist, the holy sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ truly and really present under the species of the Blessed Sacrament. Only by seeking the Church, which is Catholic and Apostolic, does one participate in the holy sacraments, or the mysteries, as they are called in the East. But let us return to the year 2018 and try to understand the siege mentality that so many Roman priests must be feeling today. We can well understand this fearfulness. We can understand their defensive state of mind. But in that state of mind, one must draw back from making rash statements. So let us be clear about something which every Catholic theologian, including the last three popes, believes to be true. The Roman Catholic Church is not the church that Jesus founded in the sense of an exclusive or primary ecclesia. This should not need saying. Are we to believe, for example, that the ancient Catholic Church, which continues to subsist in the churches of the Orthodox East, are not the church that Jesus founded? The one church? They have been in continual existence since their founding by the apostles and their successors. What we today call the Roman Catholic Church became a distinct communion and identity, in that sense, a church, in 1054, when they split off from the one church. The church Jesus founded, he founded upon the apostles. In the Nicene Creed, we name it the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. As John Paul II wrote in his encyclical letter, Ut Unum Sint, we can no longer use the term one, for schism has hobbled the church and has robbed her of that claim to be one. And no greater schism may be adduced than the great schism effected by the Roman Church in the 11th century. As for Matthew 16:18, on this rock, Jesus says of Peter in the very same passage, "Get thee behind me, Satan, you are not on the side of God, but of men." And the next day, Peter professes to believe that Moses and Elijah are also gods, offering to construct booths, such as the ones he saw in Caesarea Philippi, so they can be worshipped. "I will create booths for you and Elijah and Moses," he said. The point about Peter, Jesus enunciates clearly. "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you." And he reminds Peter that he is the son of Jonah, the one who ran. He has named Simon Bar-Jonah Kepha, which means rock, in gentle humor. Peter can be dense at times. At other times, he can be unsteady and changeable. The message is plain. You see, if Peter can be faithful in the end, we can too. But let us cut to the quick. Where does one find the church that Jesus founded? The church is apostolic. He founded the church on the apostles through prayers and the laying on of hands. Bishops are explicitly mentioned in the New Testament as our deacons. Where do they come from? Well, the apostles created more apostles through prayers and the laying on of hands. In the words of St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was St. John's disciple, "Where the bishop is, there is the church." In that sense, the body of Christ, which is the church, is made up of living cells. The nucleus of each cell is a bishop who can demonstrate descent from the apostles. The church is also Catholic. From the beginning, bishops were styled authentic teachers. In particular, the bishop is responsible for practicing, teaching, and defending the ancient Catholic faith. Which Catholic faith? It is most reliably found during the first 10 centuries of the church's existence, and certainly in her first seven councils, actually eight, counting the Council of Jerusalem in 50 AD. These represent the belief and teachings of the undivided church. If a church does not place these teachings above all as the norm of faith, her claim to Catholicity is a doubtful one. In summary, any bishop who cannot demonstrate unbroken descent from the apostles and who practices and teaches the ancient Catholic faith is a valid bishop. Around him is a valid diocese. And the church herself teaches that each diocese is an instance of the church. Where is the church? Anywhere you find a valid bishop. Most people live in the secular world. It is natural, therefore, to think of the church in terms of multinational corporations. Most people are familiar with the structure of workers, managers, senior executives, and CEOs. It is natural for them to see the church, therefore, in terms of district managers called pastors, vice presidents called bishops, and a CEO known as the Pope. Nevertheless, theologically, the church is not a vertical multinational structure, and the Pope is not a CEO. Each bishop is styled the most reverend, for no one is senior to a bishop. A bishop cannot be removed except for cause. For this reason, all bishops are required to offer their resignations at age 75 as a check on their absolute power. They are the court of last appeal. If you're unhappy with the bishop's decision, then you go back to appeal to the bishop. What then of the universal church? Well, the universal church is not a legal entity, such as a corporation, but consists in terms of communion among dioceses, which are instances of the church. That is, the particle of God placed within each of us at Mass by a priest is also the relationship we enjoy across many parishes and dioceses. Not a vertical organization, but an organic one, a living, breathing body, living stones built into a spiritual temple. Sadly, there are multiple communions, the largest being the Roman Communion. The Eastern Orthodox Churches joined through the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, and the Anglican Communion. As I have said, most Anglicans are either Protestant or secular humanist in the ethical culture tradition. Anglo-Catholics, the original Anglican Church, have shrunk to a small minority. You cannot go into an Anglican Church expecting it to be theologically or liturgically Anglo-Catholic. I don't even want to calculate the odds, but they're less than 1 in 10. Which one is the real Catholic Church? Well, the real Catholic Church, please stand up. Well, they all are, so long as their bishops descend from the apostles and they practice and teach the ancient Catholic faith. When Pope Benedict XVI was pressed to declare that the Roman Catholic Church was the church, he demurred, preferring to say that the church Jesus founded subsists in the Roman Catholic Church. He would have told you if you asked him that it also subsists in the Russian Orthodox churches, in the Eastern Orthodox churches, in all of the valid Catholic churches. He affirmed, as we all know, that the sacraments of the Society of St. Pius X are valid. And he had similar warm feelings toward the Anglo-Catholics. Where does one find the fullness of Catholic faith? The answer is where one is offered valid sacraments, where one finds a holy and reliable priest, for the priest's intentions go into the validity of sacraments, and where one's children are safe. But whatever we do, we must be cautious not to offend the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice, so that there shall be one flock, one shepherd." One shepherd. That is the point. This flock is one insofar as it has one shepherd. We may long for one sheepfold and no other. But the Lord Jesus Christ is contented that there be one shepherd. It will not do for sheepfolds to bully each other. For the Master has said, "If they are not against us, then they are for us." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.